Chapter 4. Lucy came into the garden with the guest. "Nia, this is Ethan," she said, gesturing to Nia as if she was some kind of exhibit. "We asked him along as Elvira, his fiancée, is off seeing a friend, and we thought he could do with a decent lunch. He is always working." Ethan, with his messy light brown hair and stubble on his chin, despite obviously never looking in a mirror or giving any thought to his appearance, was very good-looking. "Ethan, Nia's home is in Cardiff. Didn't you go to university there?"
"I did," said Ethan. "How is Cardiff?" "Let me get you a drink, Ethan," interrupted Ian. "Something soft would be great. I'm on call."
Ethan sat down, and his face lit up at the sight of Romeo, who had come running to him. He knelt down and made a fuss of him.
"You can smell all the other dogs, cats, rabbits, horses, and everything else in my life," said Ethan in a calm voice that somehow summoned up a look of complete adoration from Romeo. "Ethan is our vet in the practice up the end of the close," explained Ian, coming out with a glass of lemonade. "I'll leave this with you. Go and see if I can help Lucy."
Romeo flopped down beside Ethan.
"What do you do in Cardiff?"
Nia shrugged. "I was a hairdresser, but I'm having a break at the moment." Ethan sat back.
"How interesting. So where in Cardiff do you live?"
"A village, well, more like a suburb of Cardiff now, called Whitchurch."
"No way. I know it well."
"No. Are you Welsh, then?"
"No, I'm Ireland born and bred, but I moved over there for a few years with my wife to attend university and then moved on to Bristol, where I studied to become a vet. I had a friend when I was in Cardiff who had family living in Whitchurch."
"That's amazing. So, what degree did you do?"
"Chemistry."
"My husband read chemistry in Cardiff as well, and then he went into teaching. He's a head teacher at a large comprehensive school now."
"Well, that's impressive. It must be stressful. Give me animals any day. So, do you have children?"
"One girl, Safi. And you?"
"I have a son, but don't see much of him, unfortunately. My wife and I are divorced, and she's miles away now, moved up north."
"I'm sorry," she began, just as Ian appeared and called them in for lunch. In the kitchen diner, a banquet was laid in front of them. The large oak table was covered in a beautiful white lace cloth. Crystal glasses caught the light. The dinner service was light blue Wedgwood. Vintage silver cutlery was arranged next to their plates. Candles matched the green foliage of the expert flower arrangement in the centre of the table. "I'm sorry we're eating in here," said Lucy. "Ian wanted to be in the town here, so we had to settle for this little cottage. We do have a place in Surrey as well, but now Ian has retired, we are tending to spend more time here." Nia looked around nervously for Romeo, but he had slipped in beside Ethan and settled next to his chair.
"Now, we have a locally made apple juice to go with a wonderful vegan Wellington, the pastry made with milled flour from Calbourne over here, and the filling all from our garden or the farm shops."
Lucy tutted. "That's enough, Ian. Now I do hope you all enjoy it." Ian poured red wine into three of the glasses. Lucy brought a bottle of sparkling water to the table, went to pour some into Ethan's glass, but missed the edge and spilt some onto the table. Ian jumped up.
"It's okay, Lucy."
He found a cloth, wiped it up, joking.
"No point crying over spilt water."
Nia could see Lucy was close to tears, and so she followed Ethan's example and started to serve herself from the dishes on the table. Soon Lucy turned to Ethan and asked, "How are the wedding plans going? Getting engaged in January? The wedding is in June, isn't it? You've not given yourselves much time." Ethan scratched his chin.
"I'm just starting to realise that."
"You could look more excited," said Lucy. "You're not having second thoughts, are you?" Ethan smiled.
"Of course not. It's nothing like that. Just the cost. Doing things so quickly, we didn't have time to save, and everything has to be paid for up front. What has surprised me is how many people are asking Elvira for cash. I didn't think anyone handled cash now." "It sounds very odd to me," said Ian. Also, you need to be frank with Elvira. I know how the costs of these things can run away from you. Put the word wedding in front of anything, and it seems to treble the price.
Ethan shrugged.
I know, but I want Elvira to have the wedding she's always dreamed of. You are such a softy, Ethan,
Ian teased, then turned to Nia.
Gwen told us you were a hairdresser, but I understand your husband is a head teacher.
Nia gritted her teeth. Even absent, her husband had managed to upstage her. Yes, he has a very stressful job. And you have children? Asked Lucy. One daughter, Safi. She's over in Spain at the moment with her boyfriend, but planning to go to university in September. How wonderful, said Lucy. I saw our local hairdresser, Jade, tottering out from your house yesterday. I'm sure she has been filling you in on all of us.
Ian laughed. You'll soon learn there is no private life here. We're so physically close, you can't help but see everyone's comings and goings. Jade and Ruby do all our haircuts, and we all have a good natter.
I think it must be lovely to be part of a close community like this.
Yes, we are very fortunate, said Ian.
Lucy laid her hand on Ian's. And they are very fortunate to have you. She turned to Nia. Ian is always helping people out with their money problems. Ian has probably seen over everyone's books at some time or other, and, of course, he never charges.
Of course not, said Ian. It's a hard time to be running any kind of business, and I'm only too glad to help. I was only up at Joe's the other night. Oh, Ethan, Elvira seemed a bit concerned about some of the bookkeeping. She wanted me to check the vet's credit card usage was being correctly accounted for.
Ethan scowled.
I know about this, and I agree our present accountant is not addressing this. However, I also told her that I was taking on an accountant that specialises in veterinary work, and that it would all be sorted out soon. There was no need to be bothering you about it. I really don't mind. No, really, Ian, it is all in hand.
Ian lifted up his hand.
Of course, sorry, I was only trying to help.
Lucy patted his hand. Of course you were. She looked around at Nia. Ian is very generous with his time helping people around here. He's spent hours lately teaching Jade about the basics of bookkeeping for the salon and things.
She's a good pupil. I admire her. What with renting out a property as well as running the salon with Ruby, it's impressive for a young woman of her age. She and Ruby work hard. They deserve to succeed.
I'll give you that. Jade is doing well, and Ruby has to be the best hairdresser I have ever had. However, you have to be careful what you say to her. She interferes in things that are none of her business. I've seen a different side to her in the last few months. First after the accident, and then again lately. Nia caught the sharp edge in Lucy's voice. Animosity. What accident was that? Nia asked.
Ruby and I had a little bump, that's all, said Ian. It was nothing. I like Ruby. She means well.
Nia caught Ian sending Lucy an anxious look, and in an effort to lighten the atmosphere, she said, You two have so many plans. It sounds very exciting.
It is, said Ian. We have a lot to share. Lucy and I are fitter now than we were 20 years ago.
That's impressive, said Nia.
This book, and particularly the TV spot, could be fantastic opportunities, said Ian.
Nia glanced at Lucy, whose lips trembled as she smiled. Ian will be very good. Of course, he is used to being on camera and talking on the radio.
And you will be great, said Ian. If we get this, the possibilities are endless. My agent was saying that we could consider clothing, food, franchise. This could be huge.
His eyes were bright with passion and excitement. Ethan grinned over at Nia.
I don't tell these two that yesterday I had 2 sausage rolls heated up in the microwave for my lunch and takeaway burger and chips last night.
Nia laughed, and even Ian had the grace to smile, but he said,
It's about time you started coming out running with me. You're not getting any younger now. Elvira will thank you for it. I'm on my feet all day. I don't need to be running around the downs to keep fit. Well, come swimming with Richie and me on a Sunday evening.
He turned to Nia.
You're very welcome to come any Sunday. A friend of mine in the TV business has a house over here, close to Fort Victoria. It's a massive place, and out the back he has this huge pool and a gym. Richie and I go there most Sundays. My friend is hardly ever there.
It sounds amazing.
Any time you fancy it. We go about 10. I know it sounds late, but I love swimming at night. And it's a good time for Richie, as Ruby goes off to her night work for a charity then. Just come along. You can't miss the house. Turn off down to the fort. It's on the right. It's called Mare Visum. Latin, you know.
Thank you. Although I usually spend my Sunday evenings with my feet up watching TV.
Sounds my kind of evening, said Ethan.
But then his phone rang and he got up from the table to answer it. He returned quickly.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to go. I have an emergency coming in.
He kissed Lucy on the cheek.
Lovely to meet you, Nia. Try and come to White's this evening about 6:30. Everyone from the close should be there.
Turning to Lucy, he said,
See you later at White's, and thanks for a wonderful lunch.
As they were clearing up, Nia looked more closely at one of the collages on the kitchen wall. It was a seascape of blue silks, and the frame was made of driftwood. This is lovely, she remarked.
They're Lucy's work, said Ian.
He turned to Lucy.
Why don't you leave this to me and take Nia upstairs and show her your craft room?
Upstairs, Lucy took Nia into a room dominated by a long table with neat piles of materials in different shades of blue and, in one corner, a heap of driftwood. Lucy rushed over, picked up a pair of glasses, a bottle of her perfume and some rough paper, and as she shoved them into a drawer, she mumbled, Sorry about the mess. It all looks very organised. Lucy swung around. Sorry? What? I was saying it all looks very organised to me. You're so clever. You make the frames as well? I try to. I enjoy working with the wood I find on the beach. Richie helps me sometimes. It's lovely to work with someone. It's quite lonely working all the time on your own. I used to belong to a craft group, and one of the women there showed me how to do it. It was great. We'd meet in Newport every Saturday evening and would all swap ideas.
But you don't go now?
No, I left the group in February. We have everything taking off now with the fitness work, so I felt something had to go. Mind you, I did lead a few sessions with the women in the close in February. The weather was miserable, and Elvira had asked me if I could teach her to make little favour bags for her wedding. I decided it would be fun to ask Ruby and Jade around as well, and we had a lot of fun making things. Elvira naturally concentrated on the bags, but Jade made some lovely little frames from driftwood, while Ruby made some beautiful little mobiles, hanging shells from them. I think she sold a few at a sale for the charity she works for. It was lovely to share your skill like that. And what about your pictures? Do you ever sell them? Yes, Richie kindly allows me to sell some of the pictures at the gallery. It's a wonderful space. You must visit. His paintings are stunning. He's very gifted. He's building up a very good business there.
He's fortunate to have such an amazing location.
That's because his dad supports him. He's very lucky. I'm very fond of him. As I say, he comes round sometimes to help me with things like framing. I try to cook him a nice meal occasionally to say thank you. Jade was telling me Joe's parents set him up at the brasserie here. White's, I think it's called. That's right. But how else are these young people meant to get a business off the ground nowadays? Joe's parents are nothing like as well off as Richie's dad, but they're lovely people and adore their boy. Nia glanced around the room again. You are so talented. I'm not at all creative. Don't underestimate yourself. Being a hairdresser has to be one of the most creative professions, and it's important. My weekly visits to the hairdresser are a real treat. To sit and be fussed over, chat about your problems. Well, it's a bit like therapy, except you also come out with your hair looking good. Nia grinned. That's a great way of describing my job. She picked up a large piece of rose quartz. I noticed these around the house. Do you have them as ornaments, or do you believe in their powers and that sort of thing? They definitely make a difference to my life. That one brings me unconditional love. If I've been feeling down, it really helps. Lucy picked up a pretty yellow-orange stone. I keep this up here. It's sunstone. Helps with my creativity.
Nia picked up a smooth black stone.
This is onyx, isn't it? It is. I have one in every room. It's for protection, you see, as many of the darker crystals are. This crystal can wake up your inner confidence. It's good for self-esteem.
Lucy replaced it carefully on the table.
Ian thinks it's nonsense, but, well, we all need to find help where we can, don't we?
They returned downstairs, where Ian was waiting with Romeo. It was clearly time to go.
Thank you so much again, said Nia.
Any time you need anything, you know where we are, said Ian.
As they all walked towards the front door, Lucy appeared to stumble, and Nia grabbed Romeo, worried he'd got under her feet.
I'm so sorry, he gets too excited when he's leaving the house. I should have put his lead on sooner, she said, and quickly attached it to his collar.
Don't worry, said Ian. We're not used to having a dog around.
Nia thanked them again for the meal and returned home. She let Romeo out into the garden and started to inspect the borders.
Maybe she could do something like plant a small herb garden for Gwen, a way of thanking Gwen for letting her stay there.
However, she'd need advice. At that moment, she thought she heard voices the other side of the fence and went over to see if Ian would be able to help her. As she approached the fence, she could hear Ian.
All I'm saying is that you need to be careful what you say.
I had to prepare, Nia. We have no idea what Ruby could say to her.
That's just paranoia. She won't be talking to a stranger about all that stuff. Everyone has forgotten about it. Don't go dragging it up.
Nia frowned. What a strange thing to say.
What were they so worried about Ruby telling her?